the things that hinder us, hinders our prayer life, and things that hinder our walk with God. How many want to have a good walk with God? And I just want to share a few things today with you in the Sunday school hour about things that could hinder our walk with God and hinder us from praying and hinder our... How many of you ever prayed and say, boy, I don't think it got beyond the ceiling? And I'm going to try to share some things with you and today and encourage you not to get tripped up. Alrighty, if you look at 1 John chapter 2 and look at verse 5. Good to see each one of you. Well, we had a great time at David White's graduation party yesterday. Brother David had a lot of his family and friends there at the Becker Building, and we're going to recognize him during church time. But he graduated high honors and going to Kent State University this year. We're so proud of David, and I'll be make mention of him during the church time. But we're so glad that he and his family's here. Did we recognize the guests there? Did we have any pet? Oh, good. Amen. And let's look at verse 5. The thought today is, what are some things that would hinder me in my prayer, in my prayers, or what would hinder me in my walk with God? Look at verse 5 in 1 John chapter 1. Boy, I had a great time witnessing. I had a great time. We were, Brother Phil, the man I went and visited, that Steve asked me to go visit from Arizona. They didn't have a definite place for him, but I prayed and I said, Lord, have him there on Avon Court. And he was sitting on the porch. And I'll tell you, there was a man that Brother Steve DeSalms met, a fellow in Arizona, and he told me he was coming for our VBS. He said, my son's there. He's 23 years old. And he's saved, but he's walking away from the Lord. And he said, well, my preacher, he'll run him down. He'll find him. Well, I spent half hour with him and his mother yesterday. And he said, oh, yeah, Bethel Baptist, I met two of your men at your church maybe a week ago. You guys must have been knocking on doors somewhere. Anyways, the boy's name is Ryan. Well, anyways, it's exciting because I had a great time with him and his mother. They're supposed to be here today, and so plus I got to witness to about 35 different people yesterday, even some bikers at the nursing home. I had a phenomenal. I'm telling you right now, Brother Phil, I had a phenomenal day on witnessing yesterday. I was with about 30 some different people in about three or four different places. I'm pumped. I'm really kidding you. I'm pumped. We had a tremendous time. And boy, isn't God good? And we might have some folks of Yellow Harley coming here tonight. Robert and Kathy. And that was at the nursing home. I was all over the place yesterday. Got home about 5 o'clock, 5:30. But what a great day. You know what? We go out knocking on doors every Saturday. Brother Phil heads it up, and 11 o'clock, you want to, Brother Phil will help show you and give you places to go. Come on out at 11 o'clock, and me and Rosie have been going together, and there'll be times that she can't go, and maybe you and I can go together, or Brother Phil could go with you, but we've been having good times, haven't we, Brother Phil? And I'm excited. I really, in my heart, I think we're going to have fruit. What's amazing, this boy that we got a contact from Arizona, you actually saw him the week before I saw him. That's amazing. It's amazing. But you know what? You just got to go out and talk to people. That's the key. Amen? All right, let's look at some things now that could hinder our life with our prayer and our walk with God? Number one, the first thing that could hinder us is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin will hinder your walk with God. Look at verse 5. I'm in 1 John chapter 1. This then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I'm in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk, not John, the first John near the back of your Bible, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what do we have? We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, look up here. How many see me wear my jacket? Okay, I'm going to take it off right now. Boy, it's good to be alive, isn't it? When I got saved, God forgave me of all my sins. When you're saved, you have a perfect standing. God sees us just as though we've never sinned. Our standing with God. And our sonship is sealed forever. I'm going to be, no matter what I do after I'm saved, it doesn't give you a license to sin, but I'm a child of God. I have a son named David Richard. No matter what David Richard Skyver might do something that would make me angry or disappointed, but he's still my son. There's sometimes that me and my son are doing real good. Yesterday, he gave me a big hug. Boy, we like when we hug each other. That's fellowship. Then there's other days, Brother Marty, that we're not in good fellowship. Dad's mad at him. Well, I don't know about you, but I never wanted my dad mad at me. How many didn't like it when their dad was mad at you? How many wanted to stay on good terms with your dad? I mean, it was important that we stayed on good terms with our father. Well, it's important that we stay on good terms with our Father in heaven. And the way we do that is we make sure that we're in fellowship, that we walk with him, that when we have unconfessed sin and we get out in the world, we get dirty, just like we need to take a shower once or twice a day. Hello? We need to get clean. And so we need a cleansing every day of our life. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Because if we don't take a shower, we start to stink. That's kind of like we do for the Lord. We don't get these sins confessed. We start to stink in his eyes. Are you with me? Oh, I know we have a perfect standing, but I'm talking about the fellowship, the walk with him. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin. Yeah, I talked to a lady about a week ago. She said, I don't sin. I said, well, you're a liar. Because I said, the Bible says you do sin. The Bible says that we've all sinned. I said, I'm a preacher and I sin all the time. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. It was at that cruiser night. And I got shown her the scripture and I'm preaching to her. Next thing, she says, you're right, I do sin. And she... Later on, she was asking Christ to forgive her of her sins and come into her life and become. She asked Christ to be her Savior. Amen? Amen. But this ain't for being her Savior. This is just a walk with Christ. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And what? The truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, I'm glad. How many of you have ever taken a shower? Boy, you're out working in the garden or out working in the yard, and you get all hot and sweaty. Annie, you like to work in the yard. And Rosie likes to work in the yard. A lot of you, how many like to work in the yard? And man, you're out there in the sun's beating, you're working in your garden. Boy, you get a little bit grubby and you get sweaty and And boy, it seems like it's all accumulated. And you run into that shower, and isn't that shower refreshing?
Amen.
That's how, when we confess our sins, we get a closer walk. It's so refreshing. Amen? And if we say we have not sinned, verse 10, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I did all that to do 2:1. My little children, aren't you glad you're a child of God? If you've asked Christ to save you, you're a child of God. Now, by the way, I know there's a statement, Tammy, a lot of people make. The world makes a statement. Well, we're all the children of God. That's not a true statement. We are not all the children of God. We're all the creation of God. Man is all the creation of God, but not all men are children of God. You got to be born again. Scripture says we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So if people don't have faith in Christ Jesus, they're not a child of God. Amen? And so, he's talking to people that have got faith in him. My little children, you that have been washed in the blood, you that have trusted me, you that are sons of mine, children of mine. My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So he says, I write unto you that you sin not. He doesn't want us to sin, but watch. If any man sin, we have an advocate. That means I'm going to sin, Annie. Brother Mark, God says, preacher, I don't want you to sin, but you mark her down. I know you. You're from Daddy Adam. You're going to mess up. Grandma Cochran, as much as I hate not to, I mess up. Paul said, the things I hate, that's the things I do. What I want to do, I don't. What I don't want to do, I do. I've never been there. And so, sin will hinder us. And it's important because it says, though, but if we do sin, look what, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. I'm so glad I've got a mediator. I'm so glad I got an advocate to go before God, the Father, and say, listen, Lord, he messed up. I'm so glad God loved, you know what? God loves me just the way I am. He doesn't love my sin, but he loves the sinner. Amen? And I want you to notice something. We're talking about things that hinder us. Now, I know you're in the New Testament. I want you to go all the way to the Old Testament. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. We're talking about things that hinder us. And I told you, number one, unconfessed sin will hinder our prayer. Unconfessed sin will hinder our lives. If you have sin in your life that you haven't got confessed, you mark her down, you're not going to be effective for God. Look at 59:1 and verse 2. Behold, the Lord's hand. Are you in Isaiah 59? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. See, I can hear you. I'm waiting for you, preacher. Hey, preacher, I'm waiting for you. Come on, I can hear you. Just try it. Oh, come on. Look what it says. But your iniquities have what?
Separated
between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. What? That he will not hear. Wow, Brother Phil. Whoop! Those unconfessed sins, they're going to shut my prayer life down. They're going to hinder my prayers. They're going to halt. They're going to stop any progress I have for the things of God because those sins and iniquities have separated between me and God. Oh, I'm still a child of God. I'm still going to heaven. But boy, I'll tell you one thing. My fellowship is broken. My effectiveness is not going to be as effective because I've got unconfessed sin. If you're harboring things in your heart, look up here. Many times we bury our sin. I'm not going to have you turn to it, but remember who buried his sin? Achan. Don't turn to it. Over in Joshua chapter 7, remember Joshua had to go to, remember in chapter 6, they took Jericho. Man, the walls came. How many remember that? And then, boy, everything's going great, David. He says, well, now we're going to take that little city of Ai. We just took the great Jericho. Now we're going to take, he said, I'll just take 3,000 men. It's going to be a pushover. And all my lands, that pushover didn't become a pushover. Matter of fact, the men of Ai ran the people of Israel. They defeat them, and they ran back with their heads hanging. Oh, God, what'd we do? Why couldn't we beat that little small enemy? They're all going to hear about how you can't protect us, how we were defeated. And God said to Joshua, Joshua, get all the camp together. There's sin in the camp. Look up here. I want you to get this. I'm talking from Joshua chapter 7. He said, Joshua, there's sin in the camp. The reason you lost the battle, the reason the people of God were ineffective, the reason you were defeated, there is sin in the camp. A lot of times we'll get defeated in our life, our Christian life. A lot of times we'll be halted because there's sin. And because there's sin that's buried deep. We harbor sin deep in our heart. How many are still with me? And see, so he called them all together. He said, Achan! Around verse 20, he said, come on, Achan, fess up! Achan said, it's me. I took some Babylon garments. I took a little silver and gold. I took, I know they were cursed. I shouldn't have did it. And I took it out of Jericho and I took it and I buried it. I buried it in the ground where nobody could find it, where nobody could see it. You ever notice we try to hide our sin? How many ever notice we try to hide our sin? We try to bury it so no one knows we have it. The only thing God knows we have it. God knows what we're doing. And he said, get that up. Get it out. We can't have that. And by the way, not only did that sin affect Joshua and the people, affect Achan, not only did it affect Achan, but it affected all the people around him. Look up here. A lot of times, my sin just doesn't affect me. My sin will affect my family. My sin will affect my church. Are you with me? See, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll make you stay longer than you want to stay. It'll make you pay more than you want to pay. How many are we still with the preacher? And, of course, you know the story. They took him out. They took Achan and all his family. You might not like this, but God, and they stoned him. And his family even paid for his sin. Boy, I'm going to tell you that there's a responsibility to be true to God. See, that Brother Phil, if I could, that number one there, sin is a hindrance. Brother Phil asked me if I'd speak on this subject. You want to hinder your prayers? You want to hinder your walk with God? If you have unconfessed sin, I guarantee you, you're going to be hindered. You say, boy, what's wrong? Why can't I go forward, preacher? Dig up that sin. Ask God to search your heart. Say, God, just search my heart. Show me what I'm doing wrong. A lot of times, Achan knew he was doing wrong, Mark. Sometimes, though, we're doing things wrong. We don't even know it sometimes. God, Lord, you know the integrity of my heart. Show me. God, I'm just a human being. I can mess up easy. Yeah, I know. I see you mess up all the time, preacher. Duh. That's why the Bible teaches over in Corinthians, we're to examine ourselves. We're to search our hearts. And so, number one, unconfessed sin will hinder your life. Number two, look at 1 Peter chapter 3. If a husband doesn't treat his wife right, it'll hinder your life. Look at 1 Peter. I said unconfessed sin would hinder your life. I said if a husband doesn't treat his wife right. Sean and Kim just got married. We're so proud of them. They got married about a week ago, on a Tuesday, I think. And newlyweds. Amen? Well, Sean, I want you to... You got 1 Peter 3:7? Okay, this is the first verse I'm giving you for the newlywed game. Likewise, how many got 1 Peter 3:7? Likewise, ye husbands. Brother Dale? Brother Bill? David? Bruce? Harry? Mel? Phil, are you guys listening, everybody? How many are listening to me right now? Husbands, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to what? Knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Brother Coolidge, if you and Robin are spatting, fighting, yelling at each other, man, just go and say, dear God, help me get it right with Robin. Because Bobby, there's no sense in taking that praying a half hour to God if you and Sonia's not right. Ray, if you just yelled at Linda, don't talk to God about giving you a brand new Cadillac. And by the way, when her foot gets better, you're going to find out where that Cadillac's going to, you know. Look up here. Many times we wonder why. Fellas, listen. Look at me. Many times we don't treat our wives with honor. A lot of men treat their wives like a piece of dirt. You ought to treat your wife like a queen. Amen. Oh, she didn't treat me like a king. Probably because you don't treat her like a queen. Hello? If there's ever a breakdown in the Christian homes, Christian men need to realize that they have a blessing from God. That wife of yours, Brother Mark, is a gift from heaven. It's a scripture over in Proverbs. Whoso getteth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. That wife's a blessing. You still got a wife. You know one thing. You ought to treat her as a blessing from heaven. I hugged him and kissed my wife and thanked her for 40 years. For 40 years she's put up with me. Can you believe? Great reward she's going to have in heaven. 40 years. 45 with Brother Gary, with Tina. He's a lot nicer guy than I am, though. Look up here. You want to shut your prayer life down? You want to hinder your walk with God? You don't treat your wife right. How many of you ever played that game Zonk? Remember how we played Zonk in VBS and Zonk? Yeah. Well, if you just yelled at your and screamed at your wife today, you just got zonked. God says, zonk. And God says, listen, I gave you her to be a blessing for you. You need to treat her with honor and respect. Look what it says. Look what it says. According to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Being heirs together. You're heirs together of the grace of life. This is bigger than what you think it is. That your prayers be not hindered. Most guys don't get their prayers answered because they don't treat their wife right. And by the way, ladies, you need to treat your husband right too. It goes two ways. Look at Ephesians, real quickly. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians 5:21. Submit yourself one to another in the fear of God. It's a two-way street. Amen. Betty, you're supposed to treat him like a king. He's supposed to treat you like a queen. Annie, you're supposed to do all you can for Tommy, and Tommy's supposed to do all he can for you. Tommy, you should want everything best for Annie, and Annie should want everything best for you. Submit yourself one to another. Why? In the fear of God. How many see that? Look at verse 25. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. When's the last time you told your wife you loved her? Well, she knows it, preacher. Man, how many times do I got to tell her? I told her once when we got married. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved her, loved the church and gave himself for it. Look at verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife, even as himself. You go out and get a steak, take your wife and give her a steak too. Amen. Always love. Hey, honey, you stay with the kids, and I'm going out. Me and the buddies are going out and have a steak. Go bowling. No, if you're going to go out bowling and have a steak, you take your wife with you. She has a steak, and she goes bowling too.
Amen.
You guys can eat spaghetti at home and macaroni and cheese. I only got enough money for me. Then you ain't got enough money. You better go buy you some Big Macs and Happy Meals so you can, everybody can have something. Well, she's an old battle axe. That old woman. What about you? Preacher, she's not what she used to be. Look in the mirror, buckle. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. You know, we just really need to get it together. No wonder the lost world's so messed up. They see a Christian's not walking like God says we're to do it. See, I'm supposed to love my wife as unto the Lord. She's a gift. I'm going to be good to my wife. One reason, just to be pleasing to you. Well, she didn't make my eggs right today. All the thousands of eggs she's made for you and she messes up one. Yeah, she broke the yolk. Well, the yolk is on you today. So you watch after church, someone's going to say, preacher, do you know I broke his yolk? If your yolk was broke today, no one told me. It just came out. I know she told you, preacher. Did you break his yolk today, Betty? Mark, did you get a broken yoke today? Don't break the yoke over. Don't have the yoke of your marriage broken over an egg. Amen.
Amen.
Number one. I got to get going here. Unconfessed sin will hinder your life. Number two, husbands and wives not treating each other will hinder your life. Number three, look at the book of James. The lack of faith in prayer hinders your life. James, look at James chapter 1. We're talking about things that hinders our life. Unconfessed sin will hinder your life. Not treating your spouse right, husband or wife, will hinder your life. Number three, we're talking about hindrance in prayer, lack of faith. How many of you ever prayed and really didn't believe when you prayed? God, give me this, or God, do this, but you didn't believe it was going to happen. God says, look at that idiot. Ask me and don't even believe I can do it. Hello? Look up here. Our God can do anything.
Amen.
We need to have faith. We need to have faith. and ask God, believing in faith. Look up here. If you don't have faith, don't even ask Him.
Well, God, I'm going to ask you to do this, but I know you won't do it anyways. Lord, now I need this, but I know you're not going to listen to me, and I know you can't do it, so I don't know, but I'll say it anyways. You're right. I'm not going to do it, Buckle. The way you approach.
Look at James 1, 6. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. You take little Tippy Brooke to the store. Little Tippy Brooke, she'll say, I want this, Grandpa. I want this. Not wavering.
My teachers are here at BBC know my little granddaughter.
Not wavering. She's like, was it Lola? Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. Is that how the song went? Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you got to be older to understand that one. But that's for old people. You got to have a Buckeye card to understand that one. Emma knows what I'm talking about. So does David. By the way, David got a good report on his sugar. I'm glad he dropped his sugar real good. It went way down. I'm glad. Emma always said he was sweet. She said he's just nothing but her little honey. Look up here. Look at that James 1:6. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We're talking about things that hinder us, Brother Phil. Open sin, unconfessed sin, hinders our walk in prayer. Not treating our spouses right hinder our walk in prayer. Praying with a lack of faith hinders our faith, hinders our prayers. If you don't have faith, don't ask God.
Like if you say, God, Lord, I know you can't do this, but I'm going to ask anyways. Don't waste your breath. If you don't believe you got a big enough God that can do it, you know what? Can you imagine how the big our God is? And we try to think that He can do nothing. I can't imagine, Brother Fred, what God thinks of us. He looks down. The Bible says He looks upon Isaiah chapter 40. Says He looks upon the circle of the earth. By the way, that's why Columbus knew that the earth was was round. Because Isaiah, long before Columbus sailed, said in Isaiah chapter 40, said around verse 20, 22, right in there, it says the Lord looketh down on Isaiah 40, around verse 20, 22, somewhere in there. It says that he looked upon the earth, a circle of the earth, and the inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He said, you're just a bunch of little grasshoppers. I could squish you anytime I want. If we just realized how big our God was. Man, you think about it, Marty. God opened up the Red Sea. The people of Israel walked right across on dry ground. Then He closed it down, back down on Pharaoh and all his army. I mean, do you realize all the miracles? God fed them every day with manna from heaven. I mean, he gave them water to drink, bread to eat. I mean, can you imagine all the miracles God did? Jesus walked on earth, healed the blind, raised the dead back to life, made the palsy to be healed. I mean, can you, made the deaf to hear. All those things He did, made the water to still and the wind to stop. I could fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. By the way, it says 2 small fish. I mean, miracle after miracle after miracle. And yet the disciples, every time they thought, I wonder if God can do this. How many things has He done in our life? Boy, God, you pulled it off. But the next time, do we remember what He did? No. Well, I don't think He can do this. I'm going to tell you, folks, when we get to heaven, we're going to be sorry. God's given us
a blank check. All we got to do is write in what God wants from us, what we want, and he could fill the bill.
Amen.
But a lot of times we walk around with nothing because we don't have faith that God can do it. Hello? See, I still believe, and I'm not giving up on our new building out there in that land. I believe God's going to give us the money.
Amen.
We're going to build that new building, Katie, and we're going to be in there, and it's going to be debt-free.
Amen.
Brother Marty, I'm going to have you men in your uniforms that day. We're going to have a special ceremony that day, and I'm going to tell you right now, and we're not going to have to burn the mortgage because we're never going to have a mortgage. You say, well, how can you build a new building without borrowing money? Because God's greater than all.
Amen.
He can do, he's, the Bible says in Ephesians, he can do, I think it's Ephesians 3:20. He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Go ahead and try to think. Think as big as you can. I can do more than that. He's so big, we can't even think big enough. Isn't that amazing? And a lot of times we think he's just a little God. God says, if you don't have faith, then don't even ask me. So prayer, lack of faith hinders our life. Number four, not forgiving others will hinder your life. Where do I have yet? James? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 32. Not forgiving others will hinder your life. And others, by the way, too. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. Why do we always have to have a chip on our shoulder? Why do we have to be always walk around with being a tough guy? The Bible says we're supposed to be tender-hearted. Look at the next word. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You know, we want Christ to forgive us. Yet, when someone does something against us, we don't want to forgive them. We're so small. We're so shallow. All that God's forgiven me, if anybody does something against, I must forgive them. Man, my account with God is so huge. What little piddlings people do to me is nothing compared to what God's forgiven me.
Amen?
Amen? In the model prayer in Matthew 6:12, look at Matthew 6:12. I'm going to show you a couple scriptures in Matthew. Look at Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive what? Our debtors. Folks, we need to forgive others. A lot of people, Brother Phil, I know people now that back in Toledo, they still carry a grudge. And you know what that does? When you start carrying a grudge, it causes bitterness. And bitterness is like a cancer. It destroys you within, and it spreads to others. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Look what Peter asked Jesus. How often do I forgive somebody, Lord? Look at Matthew 18:21. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Should I forgive him seven? I'm in Matthew 18:21. So should I forgive him just seven times? Jesus said, I say not unto you, not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's 490. Sean, I believe if you forgive somebody 490, I think you'd forgive them 491. If you forgave them 491, I think you'd forgive them 492. Are you with me? Hold on, that's the first bell, right? And so we need to forgive. Oh, listen, forgive other people. Look at verse 35. That's, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you if you from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother that trespasses. God says, listen, he gives an illustration, and we don't have time to read it. But he gave an illustration how a master forgave a man a lot of debt. And then the man who was forgiven, he had a small debt with somebody else. And he said, pay me my money back. You owe me. You know, he wouldn't forgive a man a small debt, yet he wanted his master to forgive him a large debt. Well, that's how we have a debt that we could never pay back. Brother Marty, I don't care what anybody does to me. I have to forgive him because I owe such a debt. I could forgive people forever and still not pay my debt back. Amen? Look at Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Well, preacher, I forgive them, but I don't forget. If you don't forget it, you didn't forgive it. And that's a famous saying. Well, I forgive them, but I don't forget. I'm glad Jesus said, and your sins, over in Hebrews, and your sins and iniquities I remember no more. I'm glad Jesus forgets. Amen. Psalm says, as far as east is west, so far has he taken and thrown away our sins. I'm glad he's forgiven our sins. Amen? Amen. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any of your father, also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. We're talking about hindrances today. Here's what happens. Look up here. If Brother Mark, by the way, he has done nothing to me. I'm using this as an illustration. It's one of my preachers here. If Brother Mark did something to me and I didn't forgive him, and if I didn't forgive him, then my heart would start to become bitter. And it would get worse and worse. And guess who is affecting me? Then later it affects all those around. Because my bitterness in my heart starts to reflect around people with my attitude. Look up here. How many Christians have been broken up out of churches because of bad attitudes? Man, I'm going to tell you right now. And this is, is searching my heart. I mean this. I don't have an ought against anyone. To my knowledge, I do not have unless God would show me something. I don't have an ought. Listen, I love people. I'm going to forgive people. You want to be happy? By the way, you ever notice why some people are never happy? They've never learned to forgive. It's the loving people. It's the caring people. It's the forgiving people. They're the ones that have the fruit. Look up here. Two scriptures. Love covers a multitude of sins. And I'm glad Jesus, he was love. He covered my sin. Galatians 5 says, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. If you don't have forgiveness in your heart, you won't ever have the fruit of the Spirit. Because you will grieve the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit comes from the Holy Spirit. It's the nine fruits from Him. And if you're grieving the Spirit of God, you can't bear fruit. That's 5:22 of Galatians that I quoted. Look up here. You will go through life. Yeah, I know. Second bell, I'll quit. I wasn't done, but I'll quit. Hey, I did pretty good. We got three or four. Don't go through life wasting your life for Satan. Because Satan uses that to destroy your life and all those that you touch. Amen? So today, let's think about some things that hinder us. Watch out for those things that will hinder you. If you got an alt, go to somebody. Say, I'm going to forgive you.
And by the way, I don't care who, well, whose fault is it, preacher? Who cares whose fault it is? Really? Who cares? Well, it's not my fault, and I'm not going to tell my wife I'm sorry till she tells me I'm sorry. I'm right, and I know it. And I don't care what she does. I'm always right. You're wrong. You're wrong for thinking you shouldn't forgive. It doesn't matter who's right. I just want to be right. And forgiving is right. How many marriages people go through weeks and don't even speak to each other? Man, you're lucky I'm not God. I'd come down and I'd take my belt off and I'd whip the fire out of your little fannies. I'm amazed God don't spank us sometimes. He does, by the way. Man, let's learn to forgive. We all mess up. I'm telling you, folks, let's just have some love in our heart. Let's have forgiveness in our heart. Let's not let Satan get the victory. This is a tough old world. I'll say this, and I know the bell's already rang. How many of you have ever seen these big reservoirs, like water tanks and stuff? God says we are to have like a reservoir of love and forgiveness in reserve. And every time someone needs it, you just let some of that from that tank flow out. Sure, I got plenty in my tank. I'd like to give you some of that forgiveness and love today. We need some tender-hearted Christians instead of cold-hearted. Father, thank you for the time we've had. And I just pray that you'll bless us. Help us to learn to forgive one another. Oh, dear God, the world's perishing. The world needs, they need to see the love of God in our lives. Help us to love and to be forgiven for one another. And Lord, I pray if there's anywhere today with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking, I'm not going to come to you. We're not going to give an invitation. But maybe you're here today and you'd say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. I do need to, I have something that's hindering me. Maybe it's one of those things that I said. Maybe it's something that I didn't say. And you'd say, preacher, pray for me. There's something that's hindering my life that you spoke on, or maybe God spoke to me about something. Pray that I won't be hindered. I want to serve God. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, again, help us not to be hindered. Help us not to be hindered in our walk with you, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen.